So I know we did something different last week, but we're doing something different again this week as well. We think you're going to like it. Me and Philip are not normally competitive people, but this week we had to put on our competitive shoes and just trounce out there into the world of competition. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Me and Philip had a fun time making this episode. Here we go. Hello, I am Adam Ganong. So, if you're a listener of the podcast, you'll know that last week I trash-talked Phil, my co-host, and said I was a better writer. In return, he issued a contest. So this week, our rules are going to be a bit different. A summary? He challenged me to go head-to-head with him in a writing challenge, the victor being declared the better writer. To stick with our premise, the stories we wrote would be based on a set of rules, of course. And here are those rules. We picked out 5 different prompts that we wanted to write based on, and we had to each write a story for every one of those prompts, totaling 5 stories. Our stories had to be microfiction. For those of you who don't know, microfiction is a story that's 100 words or less. And finally, our stories had to be judged by a third party, each story being declared a winner over the other, resulting in one of us, in the end, being better than the other, and declared the in-house writing expert and consultant. I don't know about you, but I think this has been a perfect season, and this is our finale episode, and I don't know of a better way to end this season. To be our judge, we brought in a recurring character.
Hey everybody, I'm Kyle, Adam's good friend and old friend, and Phil's secret crush. I pride myself on that, on both those things.
You're that Kyle?
The one and only.
Guys, stop.
From what I can tell, I think Phil draws a lot of his inspiration from his adoration of me.
If you've been listening for a while, you may recognize that voice from an episode in our prototype season called Rope Talkers.
In the cell phone industry, what's a very important event that usually happens in September?
Well, there are these things called children, and sometimes they go back to school, and increasingly becoming true, they require a cell phone at all ages. So
yes, but there's something even bigger. There's something even bigger than that. So there's one specific company that usually announces a product every September, and it's always the same.
I totally
product.
Forgot about that. iPhone launch
today. We're going to introduce iPhone 5.
The iPhone 5. That clip you just heard is a short clip from Rope Talkers. It's one of my favorite episodes I've produced. If you haven't heard it yet, go check it out. Anyways, Phil and I went on our separate ways, wrote our stories, and then the big day. Kyle came into the studio, we sat down, and got started.
All right, Phil.
So we're going head on, story against story. And Kyle's just going to, he's going to see who's best.
Yeah.
Who is the better writer, editor, and host of the Rules podcast?
I'm getting really nervous now. I thought this was going to be all fun and games going in, but now I guess not.
I have little time for fun and games.
Ooh.
I'm getting very dramatic already.
As an outside party, I can really feel the tensions are high.
Yeah. How? Judge, you kicked me.
I'm going to give you one warning, Phil. Physical okay. violence is not accepted.
All I need is one warning.
So in case you didn't figure it out, Phil kicked me. I thought I should have been awarded points for that, but once the violence stopped, we did our warm-ups, which we do at the beginning of the episode. Usually you guys don't hear those. We might actually release some during the interim between this season and next season to kind of fill the dead space. Stay tuned. But after the warm-ups, the contest began. So the first prompt we did was submitted on Twitter by @JennaNoor. The prompt was nautical theme. So pretty open-ended, basically just write something about the ocean or write something about people on a boat, people in the ocean, something like that. I started by asking Phil what his initial thoughts were on the prompt when we first got it.
Pirates of the Caribbean, mostly.
Okay, yep.
And then, coincidentally, I saw a video, a short video clip from Pirates of the Caribbean 3 or 4 or 5. I don't know. And I got some inspiration from it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I thought of Old Man in the Sea.
Oh.
But I went with, I guess mine would be like very Pirates of the Caribbean inspired, though, I think, in the end.
Mm. Pirates. Everybody loves a pirate. Pirates are easy to write in microfiction.
Are they?
Well, I think so.
This one is probably the one that took me the longest to change and edit and stuff. But it's because I was worried about one thing in it, which you guys will see in a bit, I guess. Shall we dive in?
I'm ready to dive in.
Okay. And without further ado, here's the story I wrote. Oh, quick note. Neither me nor Phil have heard each other's stories at this point. We are going in blind. Also, Kyle's scoring it, but he let us know he's not going to let us know what the score is until the end. All right, with that, here's my story. Land ho, cried the first mate. A sea one, the captain replied. I don't know if I can change, Matilda. There was a ghastly cracking sound, and the ship lurched to a stop. We've run aground, Raymond yelled. But there should be no reef out here, the captain said to himself. Tentacles whipped around the vessel, and a sickening splintering filled the air. I guess we should get cracking, the captain said. No one laughed. Someone screamed, and the whole ship was pulled into the inky blackness. As the captain sank, he thought of Matilda. An alright story. It wasn't my favorite. Here's what Phil wrote.
The hulking ship sank below the surface, leaving only a rapidly sinking mast. Jim, the first mate, held onto a plank in the water, looking up into the lifeboat at Captain Harriet. Grab my hand now, the captain said. That boat will capsize with the big old me in it, Jim said. Jim, now is not the time, the captain said, rolling her eyes. I won't risk everyone's life. We have 5 seats left, Jim. Don't be dramatic. Oh, Jim mumbled. The captain pulled Jim up and stared sadly at the last inch of her beloved ship as it sank below the waves. I'm nervous. I'm actually nervous. It's so sad. Oh,
I'm nervous to judge them.
All right. So yeah.
Don't take it too seriously.
So we have very similar stories. Mm. I feel like yours has a lot more emotional pull to it. Did anyone get my joke at the very beginning?
I've been dwelling on your joke, Adam. I have no idea.
That was going to be my critique, is I didn't know what Matilda, where that came into the story.
I was off to a weak start. The following conversation was a confusing mess of me trying to explain my failed joke. You're not going to get to hear this conversation, but here is just a fraction of the mess of me trying to explain what my joke was.
Is he the sea ho?
No, Matilda is.
Aw, poor Matilda.
Why does he need to change?
She needs to change. No, I lost this round. I'm not going to explain it for you guys. If you got it, good job. It wasn't a good joke. But before I gave up, we needed to hear what Kyle had to say. He started with my story.
The scene is set a little bit better. I like the way that you set the scene, but you're right about Phil having more of an emotional draw. There's character interaction in Phil's story. And I almost wanted Phil's to stay intimate. But when Jim mumbled, oh, I was like, oh, that takes away from the drama of it, I guess. It's like, there's no danger. You got me all hyped up. And then I was like, oh, he's safe now.
Typical Philip, dropping the ball in the last sentence.
You haven't pulled right in.
I'm just joking.
The crush was almost complete.
What a discouraging start.
That's perfect.
That's positive, but also insightful.
It's literally what we're looking for. Also, Phil had some thoughts on my story as well.
I played it safe, but you went out on the edge, Adam.
I guess I did.
You tried to fly close to the sun.
And I succeeded. that famous man who flew to the sun and back Icarus.
Yes.
That famous astronaut. Brother.
That is not how that story goes. Yeah.
Something like that. I don't know. I didn't finish it.
All right. Enough jokes. On to the next story. The next prompt was submitted on Facebook by Jeff. This one was a doozy, especially for a 100-word limit. The prompt was, you must write a story where 2 men are fighting. One can see 10 seconds in the future, and one can go 10 seconds back in time. Yeah, I know. It was a tricky one. and trying to do it in 100 words. So me and Philip were discussing our initial thoughts on it when...
There for sure. I have to chime in, though. This is when Adam told me about the topics that you guys were writing stories about. This was the one I was most excited about. So there's a lot of pressure on this one, boys. Yeah, I don't want any time paradoxes. I'm going to be very critical of those.
What's... Uh-oh.
Oh.
Guys, yeah. I need to say right off the bat, I think I've made a terrible choice. You guys will see what I'm talking about later.
Is it time paradox just where something's...
Well, there's sort of that philosophical question about, well, if the person can see 10 seconds ahead, but the other person can go back in time, if he's seeing the future, but then the person 5 seconds later decides to go back in time, then did he really see the future?
See, this is which this is the
how can we avoid this?
No, you can't. So, like,
this one's insanely confusing.
It's a terrible rule that I gave you, but I was kind of joking. But I am excited for this one.
Yeah,
a lot of pressure for this story. And I felt like I was already down by one. All right, here's the story I wrote. No pickles, I say. Henry walks through the door. Any dressing on that sub? Ranch is what I want. But a flash comes to mind of him saying, we don't have any. So I say mustard. Henry pulls out his gun, but I'm ready and take the first shot. He dives for cover. I can tell he's confused. He fired at where I used to be. Behind you, I say. He turns and I swing the butt of my gun towards his temple. It's a flash. No pickles, I say. Henry walks through the door.
I actually really liked that. That was well done. That was well done.
Yeah.
That was very clear. That was the editing process.
Right. That's the difficulty explaining the situation within the 100 words, right?
Which I'm not sure that I did, but I'm going to give it a go.
I have to admit that's going to be a tough one to beat, Phil. I wish you luck.
This is the one that I had the least confidence in, but...
Doing better. I knew Phil had trouble writing this story, and he wasn't confident. I was hopeful. Here's what Phil wrote.
Benny swings heavily and Sam dodges, just as Benny anticipated. Benny grabs Sam by the collar and jumps backward, yelling, "Don't time jump!" Both men fall off the pier and hit the water. Under the surface, Sam closes his eyes and goes back in time. Sam dodges Benny's swing. He closes his eyes a moment sooner, just as Benny pulls him off the pier. Benny yells, "Don't time jump!" They fall and never hit the water. Benny raises his fist. He knows their fight is slowly backtracking 10 seconds at a time. He knows Sam will dodge the punch, but he swings anyway.
I really like the ending of yours, Phil.
Yes.
I love the sort of inevitability. No, the futileness of the situation, but yet it's happening. I don't know. It's a cool, like, not sort of a cliffhanger ending, but I think you know what I'm trying to say. I did like that a lot. That's my favorite part about your story. I'm going to be like less specific about Adam's, but like I can't put my finger on it, but the execution of the writing I feel was awesome. I don't know why I feel that way. I was really... So like the challenge about this doing in the microfiction, doing it in 100 words, is that sort of like getting this, setting the scene and introducing the characters and getting a story to go. And I just actually just liked the execution a lot. It was well written.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
There wasn't any specific part about the story that I liked like Phil's, but, you know,
No, makes sense.
I will say this. It is a criticism. I love your story, first of all.
Yeah.
I got pulled out of your story in the middle to try and figure out what was going on visually. And maybe that's my problem as a very visual person, because I was like, so where's he standing? Which is such a stupid question to be asking in the middle of this action scene. But I was like,
okay, maybe lost some points there. There was some other discussion about writing techniques we used, Phil's use of the word heavily, my use of first person. But Phil had one more interesting observation.
Something we both did is we wrote in the immediate present tense, which did help with both of our stories. The first time I wrote the story, the first pass through, I wrote it in the past tense. Then I realized this makes no sense, and I had to rewrite it.
Oh, that's the thing about It's weird writing time travel because tenses become very weird.
I was just going to make that comment. It's interesting that like one of the challenges about it was what time tense you're writing the story in, and it's all about time. That's funny.
Makes a big difference.
And with that, we moved on to the next story.
It's interesting how Adam has named the files just what they are, and Phil has given them all a name. Like,
this is the case every time.
Now, what you aren't seeing here is we all have a Google Drive open. It's where Phil and I write all of our stories. We write them in a new folder for each episode, and right now we're all looking at the folder for this episode.
I always title my stories.
I sometimes title my stories.
Adam's file organization OCD coming in.
My file organization? No, it's way easier to organize them with titles. I think my idea with it is it's going to be a lot easier to find them because I'm going to look at it and say, like, what is that?
What you don't see here is usually his say untitled.
Untitled. Because I just start writing and then you take the time to like title it and waste all my time. And then it's 10 at night. I'm like, Phil, I need to go to bed. You're like, just a second, coming up with a title. That doesn't happen.
There's some animosity in the room.
All right. The next prompt was submitted by Phil and I. We aren't sure who came up with it, but we came up with it together and figured we should use it. No shame. The prompt was, we had to write a story about a genie in a shampoo bottle. Here's what I wrote. Shampoo the genie appeared. It was hard to see through the steam and hear over the screams. It took Shampoo a few seconds to gain his bearings. He was in a shower room. In front of him, a skinny man was rubbing his eyes, yelling, and holding the shampoo bottle Shampoo recognized as his home. No tears, my ass! That burns! Oh my gosh! Excuse me? Shampoo said. The skinny man could not hear him over his screams. Could this day get any worse? The skinny man yelled. I wish I was dead! Oh boy, said Shampoo.
Oh man, you might have to do that last line again. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I think the laughter has to. No.
Yeah,
that like was really good.
That's a great job.
Thank you. I'm
oh man,
joke at the end. Oh boy.
All right, that went over well. I was feeling good about that story. Here's what Phil wrote.
I've been waiting for 5 years, waiting for the right master to bring me out of my cage. It was for this purpose I was brought onto this earth. I was happy with my purpose. I was ready to wait and to serve, but then I heard the voices outside this vessel. Now, put those down here. Nobody orders those things. You'd think someone would order the shampoo. You'd think someone would order this shampoo, but nah, we never sold a one. I dwelt on those words for much of my life, questioning my very existence. Am I a waste? Is my life a bad joke without a punchline? And who was the wise guy who put me in a shampoo bottle instead of a lamp?
Whew, a strong contender. Here were Kyle's thoughts.
Okay, I think I'm going to start with Adam's. I found it... found it really interesting that you didn't... Kind of what Phil said earlier, you didn't jump to the obvious things people would say as soon as they heard the word genie. They're thinking... What are some ridiculous... Well, I guess you did do the ridiculous wish with the punchline at the end, but I don't know. It was such an interesting setting to introduce that story. Like, obviously, it's in the shower because of the shampoo, but the person not even knowing they're interacting with the genie is actually kind of probably the best part. You know, like, usually many genie stories that I can think of, obviously, I've heard hundreds, but no... you know, there's always this contemplation, this, you know, I don't want to waste any, like, you know, what have I always wanted my whole life? This sort of, I don't know, it's a really cool twist, I guess, on the whole shampoo bottle did it by itself, but on the whole genie idea.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. I think that the joke at the end was inevitable, and that's what makes it so beautiful.
Yeah, the surprising yet inevitable.
Yep.
I actually didn't see the joke coming, which is...
Me neither, but
as
soon...
I can't believe I didn't see it.
But as soon as you have the joke, you're like, that's the perfect joke for that situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And the story felt complete, I guess you could say. Like, it was like the whole story was just the build-up to the joke. So basically the story was the joke, you know, but...
Yeah.
It was funny and well done. That was a hilarious joke.
Microfiction is probably just for joke writers.
Basically,
like limericks, you know, yeah. No one takes that seriously.
I find a lot of the microfiction I've written thus far has been an excerpt from a bigger story.
Yeah.
Which is what I do in most stories, but it just didn't. The completion that you have is really good.
Okay, Phil's. Wow. I liked the self-contemplation and the looking inward. It's sort of like a Buddhist vibe. It was like acceptance of this long wait and this sort of duty and this discipline to his purpose. And then it was an interesting take to, like, usually it's a, you know, buried treasure or something like that, and it just doesn't get found because it's a lost cause in the whole Amazon, I guess, and you never said in the story, but the whole sort of online shopping ordering thing, that being the reason why the genie never gets to fulfill. it's just awesome, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I loved Adam's joke, but I loved the tone of Phil's, I guess you could say.
I can see that.
Before we moved on, we had a few more genie-based ideas we wanted to toss around.
My mind goes right to the man drops dead, his ghost rises out, and he's like, what is going on? And both him and the genie get sucked into the shampoo bottle.
It's like, have you guys ever played the game Sardines?
No.
Oh, it's a genius.
Oh, like hide and seek.
It's like hide and seek, but when you find someone, you have
stuck
to
in their spot.
A genie that's also sardines, and it's a curse that the person always dies with their wish, and then they also go into it. So at the end, there's like all these genies in this lamp.
Interesting.
So every time someone gets the lamp, it's like 20 genies, and they're like, "You have so many wishes.
One of them will kill you."
Oh, but your chances get better the more people that die.
Yeah, because you can wish your whole life.
Oh.
What if you didn't wish at all? You'd just get followed around by a genie all the time.
And with that, we moved on. I was a little bit shaky. I couldn't really tell who was in the lead. I knew that I didn't do so well on the first one, but I had to keep my head up. The next prompt was submitted by @HBICIsabella on Twitter. The prompt was, you must write a story where the protagonist does not interact with any sentient beings. And you must use the word mayonnaise at least once. Here were my initial thoughts.
So my main idea going into this, when I first heard the prompt and I made the joke on Twitter, was Castaway, but Gunn is Wilson the volleyball and Anne is Hellman's mayonnaise. And so the person's interacting with a thing of Hellman's. Did you come up with the same idea?
I almost used that idea. I came up with something similar. You'll see.
So I'll say this This is risky. I've kind of made a bit of a haymaker throw on this one. So this might go over really well, or it might go over really poorly. So we will see.
I need out of this job, Bob said. He turned and looked at the jar of mayonnaise he'd drawn a face on and waited for an answer. Someone out front said, no pickles. Yeah, I could just quit, but what would I do? Bob looked at the French condiment expectantly. It continued its inanimation and apathy and gave no answer. You always know just what to say, Hellman. I should live like today is my last day. From the next room, there was a gunshot, some yelling, and then there was a flash. I need out of this job, Bob said.
Oh, it's a groaner, man. Wait, okay, that wasn't funny when I said that.
It's a groaner? I just didn't know what it meant. Like,
because he used the same story twice.
He's in so the restaurant.
I liked it, but then I was like, oh, I see what you're doing.
Yeah, here.
You're playing with my.
I had mixed emotions. I was like, oh
yeah.
Then... yeah, that didn't go over as well as I thought it would. Here's what Phil wrote.
You'd think I'd be used to this by now, Jill said, squinting through the rain-streaked windshield. It was raining so hard she had trouble hearing her own voice. She slowed the car down to a crawl and turned on her hazard lights. Used to the rain, I mean. It hasn't stopped since Ottawa. So, anyway, I've been driving forever, heading east, trying to sort my life out. I left the house with a bottle of mayonnaise and never looked back. Jill took her eyes off the road to the passenger seat where the unopened bottle of mayonnaise sat. But you know all that.
You guys have been so good, I have to say that these two are your weakest, if I'm going to give any critique.
That's
but
not
it's
good.
Both of your weakest, so it's okay. Like no one's okay. Got an easy victory there. This is a difficult prompt to do, and
yeah.
Maybe I just
yeah.
liked your other story so much. So Adams is the one I'm focusing on right now. I liked the Castaway vibe. I liked the sort of it was it was like looking to the mayonnaise for advice or like consolation, yeah. I guess, where Phil's was just like, you know, you already know all that. Like it sort of, there wasn't a need for like a reaction or something, where this guy's sort of looking for the reaction and actually imagining it, sort of, because he says, you always know what to say, Hellman. So there's something that he's thinking is that Hellman's interacting with him, right?
Yeah.
Ah, but like, you lost points with me trying to do the time travel thing. twice. See, it wasn't poorly done. It's my emotions.
That's a shame. And that's what I thought going in. I was like, this might be that's come up as too cheesy. But I like the idea of like having connections between two stories, because mm-hmm. that's kind of one of my things.
This is microfiction. You're making a big story, man. You can't.
Ooh.
Can't do that.
Oh, I guess. Ooh, that's good. I didn't do it. One of my plans, and that would have been a real... was to interconnect all my stories.
It's a 500 word story split up into five parts.
Maybe being like too hard on you for that.
No,
like,
that you're here to judge.
That's
so.
What I meant by the groaner, though. It's like, you know, you see the joke coming and then you hear the joke and you're like, I don't know. That's how.
Also, I'll say this.
Can't explain my reaction.
As people who have all worked in like a retail or service kind of industry, the other thing of that too is I kind of wanted to make a commentary on like, he's like, I need to get out of this job. And then he decides to get out of the job. And as soon as he decides to get out of the job,
he's in the time loop. Actually, that's pretty clever. Yeah. He's finally convincing himself to make this decision he's been thinking about for a long time. And then he's trapped in it.
Which is also kind of depressing. But I thought
that's
that was
sort of, that's irony. That's pretty good, actually.
Okay.
You maybe gained some points there.
Didn't seem overly impressed by either of our stories. Maybe I should have gone with a normal story, not tried to be clever. On to Phil's.
Oh, I want to be nice. I felt like it lacks substance somehow, and I can't put my finger on it.
That's
all right. I don't want to be mean, but
no,
it just didn't connect with me, I guess, is what I'm trying to say there.
Well, I do. There was no conflict. I don't actually want to be mean, but I think that's one of the things that happened.
So there was... Yeah, she's struggling with the rain, but no conflict to explain that? Or actually, yeah, I think what happened is it was good dialogue. I didn't feel, even though the rain was the problem and like the, it's obviously like torrential rain and it's been going on for a long time. When I was hearing it, I didn't envision that. I didn't feel threatened by the rain, or I guess, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like she was like super struggling. So that made it feel like no conflict, right? But clearly she's been driving for hours. If I think about it, you know, hard drive in the rain, but I don't know. Maybe it was just, I needed the word torrential down.
So our next prompt was submitted on Twitter by @eadset. The prompt was, you must write in a 2D world. And
I think this is my weakest. Phil, did you have any ideas going into it? Ooh. What did you think of when you heard it?
Once again, Futurama did an episode with 2D worlds.
Yeah.
And my mind went different places. I thought of video games like side-scroller.
Yep.
And I thought of course, cartoons. And just monitors in general. Like, imagine being stuck in a desktop. Like, all these ideas came to mind, but I went with...
Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't say that. Can you guys forget that? And I went with one of those three.
Okay.
You'll see.
I went with the video game idea. Minion watched. The miner ran towards him, pickaxe swinging. Minion grinned. There was no way the miner could leap over him. Victory was secured. The miner started flashing various colors. His muscles bulged and strained against his shirt. Bloodlust in his eyes. Minion's pixelated blood went cold. Power up! The ruler's voice boomed. Minion turned, but a wall blocked him, and of course, there was nothing to his sides. The pickaxe hit him, and everything went black. High score! The ruler's voice boomed. That'll show you, you stupid skeleton! Said a new voice from a plane Minion could not comprehend.
You undersold that.
Whew, that's good to hear after the last round. With that, we moved on to Phil's.
Kind Sammy walked across the pastel-colored scene, as she had so many times before. She had no free will over her actions or her words, but her mind raced. It had been an eternity of acting the same scenes on repeat. How many times had she said those accursed words? What's wrong, Kyle? She smiled kindly at Kyle, the pink piglet who had scraped his knee. Kind Sammy wondered if he was like her, waiting to escape the preordained movements of their tiny world, doomed to endlessly teach children to grow when they were doomed to never grow themselves.
Whew. Ooh. Ooh, is right. I had to admit, that was quite a story. Kyle dived right into his thoughts.
You're right, Phil, that it was like a... how did you preface it? It's a thinker or it's weird? You said it was weird.
Yeah, mine's a little weird.
I'm drawn to it, though.
Okay, I've had this idea for a while. Am I allowed to elaborate a bit?
No, we're on a time crunch here. We got to get going.
Well, I didn't mean to, no.
No, I'm just joking.
Crunch. Okay, I've had this idea for a while. Imagine that each time someone watches a show or plays a video game, each time a sprite of a character is created with in-game emotions and conflict and all these things, they become real and they never cease existing. Like parallel universes for each of these characters each time they exist. It's really messed up because that means each time you play Mario, Mario's freaking out because he's like, I've been played 10 billion times, trillion times.
That's a darker take on Wreck-It Ralph. I don't know, man. I've heard some pretty good stories about time repeating itself over and over again, and yours didn't even happen in a sandwich shop.
Mine is not about time repeating itself. It's about playing shows over and over again, as children do.
I liked the scene in yours, Adam, I guess. I liked how you described the sound effects and the setting of the 2D world. Like, you know, the ruler's voice. You used language like that. And I had a very clear animation of the hero powering up when you said, like, his muscles strained. And, like, I pictured him, like, you know, the typical... flashing, almost like getting a power star in like Mario Kart or something.
Which is, I basically ripped that off. I will be getting a cease and desist from Nintendo.
Yeah, it was ripped off, but it was still well worded. However, I liked Phil's story better, I think I have to say. And now that we're at the end, I'm going to tell you guys that I'm going to award him the point on this one. It's an interesting concept and it's thought provoking. It's, you know, it's like one of those. It's like a great Academy Award winning movie. You got to be in the mood to think about it and want to watch it with intent, but you get something out of it. There's like a moral to the story or like something to think about. I don't know. I just liked it.
I'm happy to hear that.
I'm not, but I will begrudgingly take it.
Oh, man.
I can see where you're coming from. Well, you're entitled to your opinions, Kyle.
I think that's the whole reason I'm here.
And with that, we started to review and Kyle let us know who won each story. We went back to the first one, the nautical theme.
I almost forget. I know Phil won that one, but I don't remember why.
Atlanta.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Adam's execution actually was superior in the nautical theme. However, the joke was too layered. It was an onion. He gave me an onion joke and I didn't pick it up. Maybe if I were a smarter audience, I would have liked your story better. I'm sorry, Adam.
No, you got to write to the audience.
It was
and
not
I failed
in vain.
That.
Ogres are like onions.
We can't go a single episode this season without talking about every episode. Down by two. We move on to the next story, the time travel one. Now, I felt like I'd gotten this one, but...
I forget who I gave the score to that one. I want to come back to that one. That might be the tie break.
Sure.
Oh, sure.
That might be the tie break.
Great. On to the third.
Genie in a shampoo bottle. I think I have to give it to Adam. The joke was just too perfect. And it was the lead up to the joke was excellent. And I feel like I already gave Phil the points for the I was going to say, you know, I liked the contemplation of the genie, but I gave him that compliment on the 2D story. And
fair
I can't
enough.
Give him 2 points.
Finally, Adam gets on the board. On to the fourth, mayonnaise. This one, Kyle had said, was our weakest.
Oh, it's getting tense.
See, this one I'm worried about because this one didn't go over well at first.
No, but I did make the comment. What did I say about Phil's? I said it lacked substance for me somehow, the mayonnaise bottle situation. Yeah. It was the obstacle or the yeah. I needed the rain to be more of a problem, or I needed to know about the conflict that caused her to run to be engaged there. So...
Does that make it a tie?
That's 2-2 right now.
It's a tie right now. A tie. And the tiebreaker, The story Kyle had said he was going to judge very harshly. The fiendishly hard prompt for 100 words. Time traveling fighters.
I'm pleased that it came to a tie without me being a people pleaser, because like, I almost like I wanted it to be a tie, so I like made you guys both feel good about yourselves, but it was like, it's for real.
Adam, whatever happens, I'm better than you.
I was hoping
it's not just clear.
I did hit you with a mean comment last episode, so I deserve that. That's fair. Yeah. But I think I got this.
Man, okay. This one is difficult for me because they're excellent in two different ways. Adam, once again, the scene setting is well done, and the dialogue and the action is explaining the setting. You know, you don't outright say that he has premonition, but you know what I mean? But it's clear. Mm-hmm. But Phil's had so much more attachment to the character. There's that, you commented on him using the adjective heavily, the exhaustion to do with this never-ending fight.
Oh, I hope I didn't shoot myself in the foot.
Your compliment to your opponent is your downfall. And the repetition of the don't time jump, you know, like let's just accept our fate and like just try and forget this ever happened to us instead of going to this endless loop. I'm really torn, guys, on these two. Is there a way to reconcile? Can we do like a rapid fire round or something like that for tie break?
We could write
a
story.
Can I give you guys both a point for the time travel one?
And we have to do a rapid fire to see who wins.
Or sort of like an impromptu, like no prep. I give you the thing.
Oh,
that's what the podcast is about.
Like one more microfiction based on your rule. Like
that's right. You can't make this stuff up. This was not planned. Me and Phil did not know this was coming. It was on the spot. So we discussed how we thought we should do it. And Kyle decided it would be a pitch. He would give us a prompt, the same prompt, and we would have to pitch a microfiction story. Winner take all. To keep things fair, I left the room so I wouldn't have time to think while Phil was pitching. So I've left already, and here is Kyle giving Phil the prompt.
A board game enthusiast is hard on his luck. He's in financial troubles, and he tells himself that he can develop the next hit board game and hit it big.
So the board game enthusiast, he wants to make it big, and he's going in. He scheduled an appointment at the game board cap at the factory to pitch his game, and he goes in, and the story, it doesn't really show his board game. He's just pitching this, and he's vibrant. He's so into it, and he's telling them about this board game. And then finally, the big reveal at the end of this 100-word story is that it's junk. It's junk on the table. The board is an old napkin, and he has a pizza crust there, and like little like pieces of junk, and they're just like, oh man, this guy. But he still sells the game.
Interesting. like a pity sell. So much vision and no execution. Like just,
oh yeah.
They're like, maybe the style of the game's like great, but.
Oh yeah. They're like, this is great. It's sort of like, Will Smith is in that film. Give me one second.
Pursuit of Happiness.
It's the Pursuit of Happiness with board games. I like it. Thank you.
And here is my take on it.
So I would, a lot of this would come out in editing, but so you've got this guy, you set the scene, he's in this huge room and all around the walls are like shelves covered with board games. I would describe that in like one sentence or so. And on the floor are all of these board games opened and like pieces are spilled everywhere and like games are cobbled together. So you've got Mousetrap sitting on top of Monopoly and it's like internal dialogue of him being like, that's it, I'm screwed, like I'm gonna have to like sell all these games, like I'm never gonna do it. And then like he like does something, he like takes a step forward, he trips, he falls, pieces scatter, and like he can like see, like he has like a vision of like, this is it, this is the game, and that's the end of the story.
Well done.
I'm not gonna say anything.
No, don't criticize yourself until after we know.
Okay,
right. Ooh, okay, so
great job.
Adam, I really hope in your audio files you have a drum roll. Like, you gotta.
I can do a drum roll. Okay.
We'll get a real drummer.
Whoa. Okay. Drummer boy. Budget on this podcast is crazy. Drum roll, please. I think I'm gonna give the victory to Adam. It was a
Nice.
Was a good, good pitch.
That was a great pitch.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm overjoyed to accept this award. I would like to thank J.R.R. Tolkien, Margaret Weis, and Tracy Hickman. And with that, we were done. It was close. It was down to the wire. And I came out just ahead. Sorry, Phil. Speaking of Phil, he had some final thoughts.
Guys, I don't want to come across as a sore loser, but I think that I was clearly the winner. So I thank you, everyone that's a fan of me. And yeah, maybe we'll see again who wins, Adam.
You guys were very difficult to judge. Like, I enjoyed all of it, and that's why we had to come up with that quickfire round at the end. It was down to the wire.
And that's the show. Pop the cork on the champagne. That is our season finale. I couldn't have been happier with how it turned out. Thank you all to everyone who's been listening. We aren't done as a show, not by a long shot. In fact, we're still going to be doing a weekly episode until we kick back into gear in October. They're just going to be shorter and a little bit different, just so we have some time to take off and kind of relax. You'll be seeing some behind-the-scenes stuff, maybe us reading some stories we've never done before, things like that. It'll depend. We will be returning to our normal show in October for a month of Monster Madness in honor of Halloween. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy our shorter episodes. We hope you have a great September and keep those writing prompts coming. Thank you again, guys. You have been great. You've been listening to The Rules.
So if you had any other takes on the prompts that we used, any of the 5 prompts we used in this episode, please tweet them to us at The Rules Podcast.
Also, if you haven't already, you can go like our Facebook page. You can find us under The Rules Podcast.
Previous episodes of the podcast are available on iTunes, Stitcher, and really any place you listen to podcasts. And if you haven't subscribed, we would really appreciate it if you did.
Also, we would greatly appreciate it if you left us a review on iTunes. That helps more people find us, and someday it will let us sit at the big boy table of podcasts.
Dave Kiney is our show strategist, assistant producer, and marketing master.
Dave, thank you very much for helping us out this entire season. You have been a phenomenal help.
You've really made this season a lot better than it would have been, so thank you so much, man.
This episode has been produced by me, Adam Ganong.
And co-produced by me, Phil.
All original art for the show was done by Philip Hall.
And music, sound effects, and general audio molding is done by Adam.
And all the stories were written by Kyle. You guys didn't realize that, but like basically, Kyle's a narcissist. And he just came on and said all the things he liked about his own stories.
What we have cut out is Kyle orchestrating us to pretend we wrote all the stories, and then he critiques his own... You know what? Just help us! Get us out of this studio!
Kyle is the mastermind.
The puppet master.
Yeah, he's the master behind all of the rules.
Oh, man.